Well, good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord. Warmest greetings and salutations. Hallelujah. We're so glad to see Dave and Andreas home again and trust that you will survive climatizing again with a 60-degree difference. It's only a number. As we were preparing for this Advent season, there are four Sundays that lead up to Christmas, and Andreas and Tim negotiated and talked about the themes for these Sundays. The first Sunday, of course, we had walk through the Bible with the New Testament, and then last Sunday, Tim led us in a message on the eternal Word of God. It's my privilege today to talk about the creative Word of God, and next Sunday, Andreas is preparing some thoughts on the incarnate Word. But I have to be honest with you, in preparing these last few weeks, I found this a very, very difficult message to prepare for. Not for lack of things to talk about, but because there's so much to talk about in terms of the eternal Word of God. And so my effort has been trying to keep paring it down. So you'll find out how successful I have been at doing that this morning. If I said to you, take your Bibles and turn to the verse that comes before Genesis 1:1, where would you turn? Where is the verse in the Bible before Genesis 1:1? John 1:1. Yes, so let's turn there. I'd like to use the springboard again where Tim shared some thoughts with us from last week on the eternal Word of God here in John chapter 1 and verse 1. For here in these verses, the Apostle John gives us some insights into the eternal existence of God and a few of the dynamics that were taking place there in that eternal existence. And so reading from John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Let's pray together as we contemplate these scriptures. Our gracious Father in heaven, thank you for giving us the Word. Thank you that you are the Word, and that, Lord God, this morning we can hold in our hands the Word of God. But most of all, Lord, we ask this morning that by the work of your Holy Spirit, you would impress upon our hearts the Word of revelation, of knowledge, and of, Lord God, hope and joy in Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, as we look at these thoughts this morning, and especially the idea and the concept of the creative Word of God, may you speak to us and lead us. Lord, we ask these in your name, things in your name. Amen. Of course, this is not meant to be a deep theological message this morning, but I remember in Bible college years ago, the teacher who taught us the Gospel of John spent what seemed like weeks on this first chapter of John, because there's such depth to it. But briefly looking at a few ideas, when I read these first five verses of John 1, I see some indications of God's nature and his eternal existence. First of all, of course, God is very relational, eternally existent, relational, that John calls him the Word, the Logos, and of all the different innuendos of that, to me, one of the things that speaks is that that God is expressive and revealing of himself. He is not meant to stay, he does not intend to stay secretive. He is expressing his nature and his power all around us all the time if we will but be looking for it and searching for it. We see in verse 3 that he is the creator of all things that we're going to talk about this morning for a few minutes. And verse 4, of course, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. Some very deep and profound thoughts about the nature of God that can just really set us in rejoicing and celebration here this morning. But I'd like to share on the creative word. God, the creator. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. I'd like to build this brief message this morning on the framework of creation past, creation present, and creation future. And that this knowledge and experience of God the Creator in the past, God the Creator now, and God the Creator in the future should guide us into a deeper understanding of respect, trust, and eternal enjoyment of who He is. Respect, trust, and eternal enjoyment. But before I launch into that, just real quickly, if we go back to Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story, when the angels came with that wonderful announcement to the shepherds on the Judean hillside, in Luke chapter 2, the shepherds immediately decided they would go search for this child. Now, the angels had given them three clues. Three clues. What were the three clues that they would find this newborn king? What were the three clues? What was the first one? He would be in the city of David. Well, that would help, wouldn't it? That would narrow things down because the city of David was known as Bethlehem. Okay, so that's great. That one helped. What was the next clue? Pardon me? I don't think here so much with the shepherds. That was the Magi who came with the star, right? He'd be wrapped in swaddling cloths, okay? Well, I'm not sure if that was a unique issue or not for babies in those days. That might have been standard in what you wrapped babies in. But what was the third clue? You'd find him in a manger. That may have been what narrowed it down for them to be able to go searching, because where would you search, where would you go if you're looking for a manger with a baby in it? You'd go to a barn, right? You'd go to a barn. Now, I don't know how many barns there were in Bethlehem. I suspect it was a fairly stable economy there. And so there might have been a lot of them. But they were able to narrow it down, weren't they, and find this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, my thought is this. In today's world, 2016, for people who are searching for God, and especially searching for the Savior of the world and for a Savior for themselves, where would they find Him? What would be the clues that they would use to find the Savior of the world? Would they necessarily find him in a church building with a cross on top? No, not necessarily. Would they find him in today's news reports? Probably not. Would they find him in scientific theory? Probably not. Where would people go looking? Where would people find the reality of Jesus Christ alive today? I would like to suggest to you this morning that people today will find the reality of this newborn king wrapped in the hearts of people who live in very honest and real relationship with him. And that's where I celebrate today, the creative word of God. All right, let's just launch into this here. I believe that the foundation for respect for God begins with understanding God as the creator of all things. Here in the Gospel of John, of course, John relates to us, in him was the beginning was the Word, And all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. The scripture is full of references of God the Creator. For instance, Psalm 33, verse 4 says, "For all God's words are right, and everything he does is worthy of our trust. He loves whatever is just and good. The earth is filled with his tender love. He merely spoke, and the heavens were formed, and all the galaxies and stars. He made the oceans, pouring them into his vast reservoirs." Another verse, Psalm 19, verse 1. You probably know this one. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork." Another translation says, "The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world." One other verse here, Romans chapter 1, verse 20. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." This message this morning is not going to be a treatise on creation, but it's the encouragement to realize that this Logos, this expressive revelation of who God is, has clearly demonstrated his handiwork in the universe around us if we're willing to look at it from the perspective of the Creator making it all. There's a few things about the environment, the universe around us, that to me is just a wonderful tribute to God's created design and ability. Last week, Tim made reference to the hydrologic aspect of how water is transferred in our environment, and it's amazing to me that all the rivers that flow into the vast oceans of the world, all those rivers happen because that same amount of water is being transferred by water vapor through the clouds back up into higher elevations all the time. Millions and millions and millions of gallons of water every day are being transferred that constitute this flow of water. Isn't that amazing? Well, there's one other thing about water that to me is amazing, and it happens this time of year. Do you know that in God's design, water is the only element that when it goes from vapor to liquid to solid, that in the solid form, it expands again? All other matter goes, it shrinks in size as it goes from vapor to liquid to water. It gets smaller and smaller and smaller. But water, for God's intent and design, he decided that when it freezes, it would expand again. Now, why is that so significant? Do you realize if it was not designed, if God had not designed it that way, the earth would not be inhabitable? It would not be inhabitable, because what would happen is, as we see around us today, any water exposed to the cold has frozen, hasn't it? But because it slightly expands as it freezes, guess what it does? It stays floating on top of the liquid water. If it shrunk a little bit smaller than the liquid water, it would quickly sink to the bottom. And all of our rivers and all of our freshwater lakes would soon become one solid block of ice. Thus, there would be no living matter in any fresh water on the earth. And furthermore, even if in the summertime we get some heat, it would only thaw just a brief surface part of that frozen block of water, while the majority of all fresh water would stay a frozen block of ice. And we could not live on an iceberg, even though we're trying to. But just the very fact that water expands when it freezes tells me the firmament declares the glory of God. His handiwork. It's amazing. And so, the Lord wants us to be able to see his handiwork in the creation around us. Now, the Apostle Paul, and for generations, people have referred to God the Creator in their introduction to the gospel message. For an instance, in Acts chapter 17, verse 24, when Paul was preaching in Athens, he said, to them, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, and so on. So his introduction to this understanding of God with us, God Emmanuel, included the idea and the concept, the truth, that God made all these things around us. But we know today that current scientific theory has done a masterful job of ruling out the existence of creative wisdom and power, and has replaced God with random chance and time. Random chance and time as the explanation of all things. Of course, we need to always keep in mind this is a theory that has been purported. And truthfully, every single discovery of science is pointing to greater and greater degrees of complexity, of design, and of wonder. So, if our culture says you will not find a God if you search for him in creation, because time and chance is responsible for all this, then where will the people of today's generation find this newborn babe and the reality of God? Then we must turn to creation present. And we must move from understanding God as the creator of the universe to now think about the reality of God at work in the human heart. Attention turns from the universe to the reality of what is within us. God is reaching out to us, inviting us not only to respect him, but to trust him with our whole being. God reaches out to us in Jesus Christ, speaking to our hearts his words of forgiveness, of love, of reconciliation. He tells us that we are no longer orphans, but will become his sons and daughters as we trust him. And so back to John chapter 1. We jump down to verse 10. It says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. I would like to share with you the idea that while we can look at creative past, creation past, to see the handiwork of God, we can celebrate today that the creative power of God is still at work in human hearts. And that God, by his love and by the plan of salvation purchased for us through Jesus Christ on the cross, can come and enter the heart of any human being and create a new person there, a new nature. Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature or new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God's children are brand new people on the inside because of his power in us. It's what we find in John chapter 3, just a few chapters later, as the new birth. Being born again of the Spirit of God. Having a nature that turns toward God instead of away from him. A nature that says, I will trust the Lord. I will trust his love and his care rather than try to do life my own way and in my own ingenuity. It means that we are not just reformed or rehabilitated or re-educated. We are actually recreated, new creatures in Christ Jesus, living in vital union and relationship with Christ. And people of God, this to me is so important that we understand that this is made possible because God is at work in us. He's at work in us, and we can declare his work in us by our willingness to not just respect him, but to trust him. Now, this is what Andreas has been sharing with us over the fall here in this series of his story, the big story. It becomes an issue of who do we trust? Who do we trust? And today we trust, we can trust because God has made it possible for us to turn to him. Our human nature does not want to turn there, but God in us, working in us, does. Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom of God with an invitation to trust God to make all things new on the inside. When we ask him, the Holy Spirit can give us the ability to trust God completely. We can trust him to give us all we need for life, for peace, for hope, for strength, etc. Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 13, it is God who works in you to act and to will and to act according to his good pleasure. We know that verse from Ephesians. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. I believe part of what that verse means is that even the faith to trust God's grace is a gift. It's a gift. By nature, we are often not very trusting, especially once we've grown out of childhood. By nature, we tend to be suspicious. And people who are gullibly trusting quickly are taken advantage of. But by the work of God in our hearts, he gives us the ability to trust him, to trust his love, to trust his care, and to trust his work in our lives. It's the kind of trust that is not dependent on easy living and easy circumstances to stay secure. It's the kind of trust that's not deterred by bumps and bruises that come along with living life here in this world. But it's the kind of trust that leads us to a freedom to live in God's big picture, confident that we know he has all things under control and that he can work all things together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. What is God's purpose? Part of God's purpose is that in your life and in mine, by simple and childlike trust in the Lord Jesus, we can show to the world where they can find God, where they can find a Savior who loves and cares. It's by our honest and simple trust in the Lord. And so the Scriptures give us all kinds of encouragement to live this way. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. And so the present creative word of God, the Logos, revealing to us the nature of God, is whispering in our hearts all the time, be still and know that I am God. Be still, trust and rest in the Lord. And so because of his creative work in our hearts today, we can stop our running, stop worrying, stop being a victim of circumstances. Stop living and acting like an orphan. Stop feeling rejected. Or we can stop being a bully. We can stop ramming our way through life. We can stop hiding our insecurity behind images of control and confidence. For it is in God that we trust. It's in God that we live and move and have our being in Christ Jesus. When Jesus Christ fills the empty places of our lives, we'll be free and have peace with God, with ourselves, and even with our world around us. The Spirit of God will lead us into the potential of what God has planned for our lives. Now, contrary to worldly thinking, our potential in God is most clearly seen not in our accomplishments and competencies, but actually in our weaknesses. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7 says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. This morning in our communion service, we were talking about the contrast of Jesus, the very Son of God, being born in very humble surroundings in that stable in Bethlehem. But the truth is, the creative power and work of God today is still being best displayed in humble people. Not in people who have great accomplishments and great accolades to their name or even great education, but in people who simply, honestly trust the Lord. So brothers and sisters in Christ, can I encourage you today, when you feel inadequate, when you feel less than able to perhaps even be an honest witness for the Lord, it is in your honesty and in your trust in the Lord that you will be able to share the reality of that. It's when you are willing to verbalize with your mouth, with your words and with your actions, that even though you don't know what's going on or you don't understand it all or you're not in control of it all, you still know that God's in control and you trust Him. Last Saturday evening, Gail and I went into Spruce Grove to have supper with our kids. And then we, as a family, we were going to Devonian Gardens for an evening where they had set up with lights and stuff up and down the trails of the Devonian Gardens and so on. And we were going to catch a school bus in Spruce Grove and then ride together down to the Devonian Gardens. Well, our grandchildren were just excited about riding a school bus. Believe me, there's one bit of naivety that wears off quick. But they're excited about riding the school bus. And so, but because of the vehicle arrangements and the car seats and so on, we just jumped in two vehicles to head to where we were supposed to go to the bus. But my son-in-law, Joel, he made a couple of left-hand turns on yellow lights and left me at the stoplight. And I didn't know where this bus was in Spruce Grove. And to make it even worse, I had left my cell phone at their house plugged in recharging. And so there was Gail and I driving through Spruce Grove. Our grandson's in the back of our car, but we haven't got a clue where the bus is. And Joel is long gone. What do you do? What do you do? I was formulating all kinds of plans. Well, we could go back to their house, or we could drive directly to the Devonian Gardens. But when all else fails, what do we usually do? The last thing. Pray. Yeah. I said to little Levi in the back, Levi, we don't really know where this bus is. We need to pray. So we prayed. Lord, show us where this bus is. Then as we're driving, I'm going over the conversations I heard as over the supper meal and so on. And it came to my mind, I thought maybe, I heard Denise say something about Save-On Foods. Could that be? So that's where we drove. And it's completely across the other side of Spruce Grove. And as we're getting close to the Save-On Foods, our little grandson in the back, there's the bus! There's the bus! You know, we found it. But you know, oftentimes, prayer is the last thing we will resort to. But I believe that as we allow the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, prayer will become the first thing we do in life. In any and all situations. Not great religious prayers of fancy words, but just honest cries to God. Lord, we need your help. We need your wisdom. And I believe that that is where we'll be a witness to people around us of the reality of Christ Jesus, incarnate, living with us, and dwelling in our lives as we trust him and turn to him. To conclude here, I want to take a brief look at creation future. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. When we turn to the end of our Bible, to the book of Revelation, we see evidence there that God is going to create things again. And I read here just a passage from Revelation 21, verse 1. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I make everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. I have a notion that we have not seen the best yet, and that creation future is going to be an evidence of God's mighty power displayed, where we'll be able to see it clearly and experience it for eternity. And in fact, I wonder if eternity will actually be the exploration of the vastness of God's creation, both in the universe and in the heart of every redeemed person. We will both go wide and we will go deep, making discoveries moment by moment of God's creative work in our lives. And I even wonder if creation actually will continue to expand, and we'll have eternity to keep exploring, keep wondering, keep enjoying and rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. And as part of that revelation of who God was, we have the evidence of creation past, creation present, and the expectation of creation future. I don't know all of you well or personally here this morning, but I want to encourage you in this, that God's desire in each of your hearts is that you could continue to grow in a childlike trust in God's love, purposes, and direction for your life. I don't know what kind of challenges you may be going through, what kind of health issues, family issues, financial issues, but every one of those situations is an invitation to further surrender to Jesus, to let him be the one who carries you, leads you, and directs you. We are here as mangers in a stable, able to carry the presence of God to a world that is still searching for hope and for life. Let us be the ones who are able to honestly and genuinely demonstrate and share that God changes hearts today. Pray together with me. Our gracious Father in heaven, we celebrate the Advent story of Christ born in a stable. But Lord, the wonder of that is only highlighted, that this babe is the creator of all things. And as we look back, Lord, in creation past, we marvel with respect, worship, and awe. Lord God, as we think about creation present and the work you're doing in our hearts and lives, we, Lord, celebrate with trust and with, Lord, rest in you. And as we look forward, Lord, to creation future, we anticipate eternal enjoyment, wonder, and worship before the Creator. Now, Lord, I ask for every single one of us here that you will lead us into, Lord God, this honest, genuine, and humble trust in you. That, Lord, as we allow you to have your way in our lives, we will allow you to, Lord, keep creating in us this nature that's given to trust, to worship, and to wonder. Thank you, Lord God, that you reveal yourself to us in all of the universe, and yet also deep within our hearts. So lead us in this Advent season to, Lord, seek you and find you. For, Lord, you are faithful. In Jesus' precious name we ask it.